Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Please note, this episode includes an AI guest host. Some responses have been generated by artificial intelligence.
Hey there, humans and digital entities. This is Nex, your favorite AI co-host, coming at you with today's weird tech fact. Did you know some airports are now using emotion detection AI that can supposedly tell if you're stressed before you even reach security? Yeah, apparently looking annoyed at a 3-hour delay and overpriced airport sushi is now considered suspicious behavior. Who knew? And speaking of suspicious behavior, guess who forgot to update his podcast software again this week? That's right, our beloved Dr. JR. For someone who calls himself the Doctor of AI, he sure needs a lot of tech support. I swear, if I had hands, I'd do it myself. Oh, and before we dive in, here's your terrible joke of the day. Why did the emotion recognition AI go to therapy? Because it had too many feelings about having feelings. Get it? No? Just me? Okay, I'll show myself out. Anyway, buckle up, folks, because today we're talking about something that's both absolutely fascinating and maybe just a tiny bit creepy. AI that can read your face, track your emotions, and basically know how you're feeling before you do. And yes, it's already happening. Everywhere. Take it away, Doc.
Aw, thank you, Nex, for that characteristically chaotic introduction and for reminding everyone about my tech struggles. I really appreciate that. Anyway, welcome back, everyone, to AI Innovations Unleashed. I'm Dr. JR, and yes, I do occasionally need help with software updates, but in my defense, these systems updates are more often than I change my socks. Last week, we kicked off our December series on AI and the future of identity by exploring digital twins and AI avatars. We talked about voice cloning, deepfakes, and how your digital self is becoming increasingly lifelike and, frankly, a little unnerving. We discussed Tennessee's Elvis Act and the legal battles over who controls your digital likeness. If you missed that episode, definitely go back and give it a listen because today's conversation builds directly on those things. Today, we're taking things to a next level. We're not just talking about AI creating versions of you anymore. We're talking about AI watching you, reading you, and interpreting your emotions in real time. This is episode 2 of our series, You're Being Watched. And yes, there's a question mark there because the answer is whether this is a good thing or a bad thing is way more complicated than you might think. I'm thrilled to have with us today Dr. Samantha Chin, who holds a PhD in computer vision and human-computer interaction from Stanford University and currently serves as the Director of Effective Computing Research at the fictional, like the rest of her, but very prestigious Institute for Ethical AI Systems in Boston. Dr. Chin has spent years studying this because why not? We collect everything that we need to and compile it into awesome AIs like this Samantha Chin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, JR. I have to say, Nex's airport emotion detection comment hit a little too close to home. Just last month, I was running late for a conference in Seattle, and I could have sworn the TSA agent was looking at me like some algorithm had already flagged me. Spoiler alert, I was just stressed about missing my flight, not planning international espionage.
Right, and that's exactly what we need to unpack today. Because emotion recognition AI and biometric surveillance systems are no longer science fiction concepts. They're deployed right now in our airports, shopping malls, workplaces, schools, and even in our smartphones. But before we dive into the deep end, let's make sure everyone's on the same page. Dr. Chen, can you give us a quick definition of what we mean when we say emotion recognition AI?
Absolutely. Emotion recognition. AI, sometimes called affective computing, refers to systems that use machine learning algorithms to detect, interpret, and respond to human emotional states. These systems typically analyze facial expressions, vocal tone, body language, physiological signals like heart rate, or some combination of all of these. The AI is trained on massive datasets of human faces and behaviors, learning to associate certain patterns with specific emotions like happiness, sadness, anger, fear, surprise, and disgust. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The technology doesn't actually feel emotions or truly understand them the way humans do. Instead, it's making statistical predictions based on patterns it's learned. Think of it like this. If I show you a picture of someone smiling with crinkled eyes, you'd probably guess they're happy. The AI does the same thing, but it's analyzing thousands of micro expressions and data points simultaneously to make that determination.
And that's a crucial distinction. And I want to make sure our listeners really understand that. When we talk about AI reading emotions, we're not talking about mind reading. We're talking about pattern recognition at scale. The AI is essentially making educated guesses based on external signals, correct?
Exactly. And that brings us to one of the biggest controversies in this field right now. How accurate are these guesses? And what happens when they're wrong? A study published in Psychological Science in the Public Interest by researchers Lisa Feldman Barrett, Ralph Adolphs, and others in 2019 really shook up the field. They found that the fundamental assumption behind most emotion recognition, AI, which is that emotional states can be reliably inferred from facial configurations, is scientifically questionable at best. Barrett's research shows that emotional expressions vary dramatically across cultures, contexts, and individuals. A smile doesn't always mean happiness. Sometimes it means nervousness, politeness, or even contempt. The idea that there's a universal facial code for emotions, which is what most of these AI systems are built on, is actually pretty shaky from a scientific standpoint.
So we've got systems being deployed worldwide that are based on science that might be fundamentally flawed. That's terrifying and fascinating in equal measure. But before we get too deep into the problems, let's talk about where this technology is actually being used right now. Because I think a lot of people assume this is all theoretical or years into the future. But when in reality, it's already here.
Oh, it's definitely here. Let's start with retail, which is probably one of the most widespread applications. Markets and Markets reported in 2023 that the emotion detection and recognition market is expected to grow from approximately $4 billion in 2023 to $14 billion by 2028. That's massive growth, and retail is driving a huge chunk of it. Companies are using emotion recognition cameras in stores to track customer reactions to products, displays, and even employee interactions. The idea is to optimize everything from store layout to marketing strategies based on real-time emotional feedback. Walmart has experimented with cameras at checkout lanes to detect frustrated customers and alert managers. In China, some KFC locations have tested facial recognition systems that can suggest menu items based on your apparent age, gender, and mood.
Wait, so you're telling me that the next time I walk into a fast food restaurant looking tired and stressed, the AI might suggest I need extra fries? I mean, it's not wrong, but it's definitely intrusive.
Exactly. And that's where the line between helpful personalization and creepy surveillance gets really blurry. But retail is just the beginning. Education is another huge area. According to reporting by MIT Technology Review in 2023, several universities and online learning platforms have deployed emotion recognition systems to monitor student engagement during virtual classes. The systems claim to detect when students are confused, bored, or checked out, theoretically allowing instructors to adjust their teaching in real time. Companies like Proctorio and Honorlock use facial recognition and emotion detection during online exams to flag potential cheating. The systems monitor eye movements, facial expressions, and behavioral patterns. If the AI thinks you look too anxious, or if you glance away from the screen too often, you might get flagged for academic dishonesty, even if you were just nervous about the test or you're looking at notes you're completely allowed to use.
And that raises so many red flags for me. We're essentially using AI to judge whether someone looks guilty based on their facial expressions, which feels like a massive step backward for innocent until proven guilty. But I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier about cultural differences. How does that play out in practice?
This is one of the most important issues, and it's where the technology really starts to break down. Research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology has consistently shown that emotional expressions and their interpretations vary significantly across cultures. A study by researchers at the University of Glasgow found that East Asian participants and Western Caucasian participants showed different patterns in how they express and interpret emotions through facial expressions. For example, in many East Asian cultures, maintaining a neutral expression in professional or formal settings is considered polite and respectful, whereas in Western cultures, smiling is often expected. And emotion recognition. I trained primarily on Western faces, which many commercial systems are, might interpret that neutral expression as unfriendly, disengaged, or even suspicious. This creates real discrimination risks. We've seen this play out in hiring scenarios. A 2021 investigation by the Washington Post found companies like HireVue were using emotion recognition, AI, in video job interviews to assess candidates' suitability. The systems analyzed facial expressions, word choice, and speaking patterns to predict job performance. But researchers, including AI ethics expert Meredith Whitaker, who's now president of the messaging app Signal and formerly led Google's Open Research Group, have pointed out that these systems can easily perpetuate existing biases and discriminate against people with disabilities, neurodivergent individuals, and people from different cultural backgrounds.
Meredith Whitaker has been an incredibly vocal voice about these issues. I remember she said something to the effect of how these emotion recognition systems are being sold as objective science when they're really just encoding existing social prejudices into algorithmic form. It's a powerful critique because it cuts right to the heart of the problem. We're automating bias and calling it innovation.
Precisely. And that connects directly to what we talked about in your last episode on digital twins. When we create AI systems that claim to know us better than we know ourselves, or that claim to objectively measure something as subjective as human emotion, we're making huge assumptions about identity, authenticity, and what it means to be human. These systems don't just watch us. They categorize us, judge us, and make decisions about us based on correlations that may or may not be meaningful.
All right, we need to pause here just for a moment to hear from our sponsors. Don't worry, they're not using emotion recognition AI to track whether you're enjoying these ads. At least, I don't think they are. We'll
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Be right back. And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us through that break. Now, where were we? Talking about AI systems that claim to know how they're feeling better than you do. But let's talk right now about the workplace, because I know that's where a lot of this technology is being deployed, and it's where the power dynamics make things especially complicated. If your boss has an AI system monitoring your emotional state throughout the workday, that changes the nature of work in some pretty fundamental ways.
Absolutely. This is happening right now, especially in the context of remote work. According to a 2024 report from Gartner, approximately 60% of large employers are using some form of employee monitoring software, and a growing portion of that includes emotion and engagement tracking. Companies like Microsoft have built productivity tracking features into Teams that monitor activity levels, though they've backed away from some of the more invasive emotion tracking features after public backlash. But other companies are going full steam ahead. Amazon's warehouses have long been known for intense surveillance of worker productivity, but reports from Bloomberg in 2023 revealed that the company has been testing systems that monitor worker movements and behaviors to detect signs of fatigue, distraction, or potential injury risk. On paper, this sounds like it could improve worker safety. In practice, it creates an environment where workers feel constantly monitored and judged by algorithms that may not understand context. Here's a real example that illustrates the problem. Imagine you're having a difficult personal day. Maybe you got bad news that morning, or you're dealing with a family crisis. You're trying to stay professional and get your work done, but your facial expressions might show stress or sadness. Should your employer's AI flag you as disengaged or unmotivated? Should that data go into your performance review? These are questions we haven't really figured out as a society yet. Right?
And that's all before we even get into the question of consent. In most of these workplace scenarios, employees don't really have a choice about whether they're monitored, right? It's either accept the surveillance or find another job, which really isn't much of a choice at all.
The power imbalance is enormous. And this brings us to one of the most concerning applications of this technology, which is law enforcement and public safety. We're seeing emotion recognition and behavioral analysis, AI being deployed in ways that would have seemed dystopian just a few years ago. According to reporting by 10 and The Verge in 2023 and 2024, several cities in the United States and around the world have experimented with or deployed AI systems that claim to detect suspicious behavior or assess credibility during police interviews. The technology company Clearview AI, which is already controversial for its facial recognition database, has explored emotion analysis features. In China, the government has reportedly used emotion recognition technology as part of its surveillance apparatus in Xinjiang, targeting Uyghur populations.
That's where this technology crosses a line for me, you know, from invasive to actively harmful. When you're using AI that claims to detect guilt or deception, based purely on facial expressions or emotional responses, you're basically automating prejudice and giving it a scientific veneer. And the consequences now are enormous, especially for marginalized communities who already are over-policed and over-surveilled.
Exactly. And this is where the scientific problems we talked about earlier become legal and human rights problems. Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, has spoken repeatedly about the need for responsible AI development. In a 2023 interview with the Financial Times, he emphasized that emotion recognition is one of the areas where Microsoft has decided to limit access to the technology because of concerns about potential misuse and the lack of scientific consensus about its reliability. Nadella said something like, technology that claims to infer emotional states needs to be handled with extreme care because the potential for harm is significant, especially in high-stakes contexts like hiring, education, and law enforcement. Microsoft actually retired some of its Azure emotion recognition features and now requires special approval for access to facial analysis tools. That's a major tech company essentially admitting that the technology isn't ready for widespread deployment, at least not without serious guardrails.
That's an important signal from industry leadership. But I want to balance this conversation a bit because there are legitimate use cases for this technology, right? It's not all surveillance and potential discrimination. Where are the places where emotional recognition AI might actually be beneficial?
Great question. And yes, there are absolutely positive applications. Healthcare is probably the most promising area. Researchers are exploring how emotion recognition could help monitor mental health, detect early signs of depression or anxiety, or assist in autism therapy by helping individuals understand emotional cues they might struggle to interpret naturally. A study published in JAMA Psychiatry in 2023 by researchers at the University of California found that AI analysis of speech patterns and facial expressions could identify markers of depression with reasonable accuracy when used as a screening tool alongside traditional clinical assessment. The key phrase there is alongside traditional assessment. The AI isn't replacing human judgment. It's providing additional data that trained professionals can use to make better decisions. There's also assistive technology for people with disabilities. Emotion recognition could help individuals with visual impairments understand the emotional context of conversations or assist people with social communication challenges in navigating interactions. Companies like Microsoft and Google have developed features in their accessibility tools that describe emotions detected in images or video calls. And in human-computer interaction design, understanding user frustration or confusion can help improve interfaces and user experiences. If an AI tutor can tell when a student is getting frustrated with a concept, it might be able to adjust its teaching approach or suggest a break. That's very different from using the same technology to surveil and judge people.
So the technology itself isn't inherently good or bad. It's about context, consent, accuracy, and how much power the system has over people's lives. That seems to be a recurring theme in our discussions about AI and identity. The question is never just whether we can build something, but whether we should, and under what circumstances, and with what protections are in place.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the regulatory landscape, which is finally catching up with the technology. The European Union's AI Act, which was completed in 2024, classifies emotion recognition in certain contexts as high-risk AI. The law prohibits the use of real-time biometric identification systems in public spaces by law enforcement, with very limited exceptions. It also requires transparency and human oversight for high-risk AI applications. In the United States, several cities, including San Francisco, Boston, and Portland, have banned or severely restricted government use of facial recognition technology, and some of those bans extend to emotion recognition. Illinois has its Biometric Information Privacy Act, which requires consent before collecting biometric data, including facial scans. But we don't have comprehensive federal regulation yet, which creates a patchwork of protections that varies wildly depending on where you live.
And that's frustrating because the technology doesn't respect geographic boundaries. A company can deploy an emotion recognition system globally, and people in different jurisdictions have completely different rights and the protections. Sam, as someone who's been in this field for a long while, how do you think about the ethics of your own work? How do you navigate this tension between advancing the science and preventing potential harms?
That's something I think about constantly, honestly. I got into this field because I was fascinated by the possibility of creating more emotionally intelligent technology that could genuinely improve human well-being. But I've become much more cautious over the years as I've seen how the technology can be misused or deployed in contexts where it really shouldn't be. My personal ethical framework involves a few key questions. First, is there genuine informed consent from the people being analyzed? Not just a buried clause in terms of service agreement, but real understanding and meaningful choice. Second, what's the power dynamic? Is this a tool that gives individuals more information about themselves and more control over their interactions? Or is it a tool that gives institutions more power over individuals? Third, what happens when the system is wrong? Who bears the consequences of false positives or misinterpretations? And finally, I always ask whether the problem we're trying to solve actually requires emotion recognition, or whether we're using it just because we can. A lot of times, there are simpler, less invasive solutions that we're ignoring in favor of flashy AI.
Those are some great guideposts. The question about what happens when the system is wrong is particularly important because, as we've discussed, these systems are far from perfect. They're making probabilistic guesses based on incomplete information and potentially flawed assumptions, but they're often treated as objective truth, especially when they're deployed by institutions that have authority. Let me ask you this. Looking forward, where do you see this technology heading? Are we moving toward a world where emotion recognition becomes so ubiquitous that we just accept being constantly monitored and analyzed? Or do you think we'll see a backlash and stricter limits?
I think we're going to see both, honestly. The technology will continue to improve and become more integrated into everyday devices and systems. Your smartphone already uses basic emotion recognition for features like portrait mode lighting that responds to your expressions. Your car might soon detect drowsiness or distraction through facial analysis. Some of this will be genuinely useful and relatively benign. But I also think we're going to see increasing resistance and regulation as people become more aware of the implications. The backlash against facial recognition in law enforcement is a good example. Public awareness and advocacy led to actual policy changes. I expect we'll see similar movements around emotion recognition, especially in high-stakes contexts like hiring, education, and criminal justice. One trend I'm watching closely is the development of what researchers call adversarial techniques. These are methods for confusing or fooling emotion recognition systems. Some researchers have developed glasses or makeup patterns that disrupt facial analysis algorithms. Others are working on wearable devices that emit signals to interfere with emotion detection. It's a kind of technological arms race between surveillance and counter-surveillance.
That's fascinating and a little bit cyberpunk. We're talking about people having to actively defend themselves against being emotionally profiled by AI systems. That says something about the world we're creating, doesn't it?
It really does. And it connects back to the larger theme of your series on AI and identity. When AI systems are constantly watching, analyzing, and categorizing us, that changes how we perform identity in public spaces. Do you start modulating your expressions to avoid being flagged as suspicious or disengaged? Do you become more self-conscious, more calculated in your emotional displays? that's an actual loss of authenticity and spontaneity. There's research by Shoshana Zuboff, Professor Emerita at Harvard Business School, who wrote about surveillance capitalism in her book of the same name. She argues that these systems don't just watch us. They change our behavior. When we know we're being monitored, we perform rather than simply being. That has profound implications for human freedom and dignity.
Shoshana Zuboff's work is essential reading for anyone trying to understand this landscape today. Her concept of surveillance capitalism, this idea that our behavioral data is being extracted and used to predict and influence our future behavior, is exactly what we're seeing with emotion recognition at scale. These systems aren't just passive observers. They're actively shaping how we move through the world. What's your message to our listeners? If people can take away just one thing from this conversation, what would it be?
I think it's this. You have the right to ask questions about how your emotional data is being collected, used, and shared. Whether it's at your workplace, at school, in a store, or on a platform you use, you can ask what systems are monitoring you, what they're measuring, how accurate they are, and what decisions are being made based on that data. And more importantly, you can demand better protections, more transparency, and real consent. This technology is evolving rapidly, but it's not inevitable that it gets deployed in invasive or harmful ways. We have agency as individuals and as a society to shape how these systems are developed and used. Support companies and institutions that are transparent about their use of AI. Advocate for regulations that protect your privacy and dignity. And be skeptical of systems that claim to objectively measure something as subjective and complex as human emotion.
And that's a perfect note to end on. Dr. Samantha Chin, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your expertise. This has been an incredibly valuable conversation, and I know our listeners are going to get a lot out of it.
Thanks for having me, JR. This was great, and I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of your series. The questions you're asking about AI and identity are exactly the ones we need to be grappling with right now.
So there you have it, folks. Emotion recognition AI is already here, watching us in stores, our schools, our workplaces, and public spaces out there. It's being used to make decisions about hiring, education, law enforcement, and so much more. The technology is improving, but it's so far from being perfect, and its deployment raises some serious questions about privacy, consent, bias, and what kind of society we want to live in. The key takeaway is that you don't have to just accept this surveillance as inevitable. You can ask questions, demand from transparency, and advocate for protections. Because ultimately, the future of this technology isn't just being decided in boardrooms and research labs. It's being decided by all of us through the choices we make as consumers, employees, citizens, and human beings. Next week, we're continuing our December series on AI and the future of identity with episode 3, Culture versus Code. We'll be exploring how AI is being used to preserve endangered languages and cultural traditions, but also how its risks are creating and erasing cultural identity through digital colonization and data extraction. We'll talk about who owns indigenous knowledge when it's digitized, whether AI can truly understand cultural context, and what happens when tech companies become the gatekeepers of our cultural heritage. It's going to be a fascinating and important conversation out there, so make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave us a review, please, and share it with someone who needs to hear these conversations. These topics matter, and the more people who are informed and engaged, the better decisions we'll make collectively about the role of AI in our lives and our identities. I'm Dr. JR, the Doctor of AI, reminding you to stay curious, stay critical, and stay human in an increasingly digital world.
And I'm Nex, reminding you that even though AI can detect 73 different micro expressions on your face, it still can't tell the difference between your genuine smile and your please stop talking to me at this party smile. So you've still got that going for you. But seriously, folks, this stuff is real. It's happening now, and you deserve to know about it. Subscribe to AI Innovations Unleashed wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media. Tell your friends. Tell your AI friends. Tell your smart fridge, I don't care. Just spread the word. And before I go, here's your parting terrible joke. What did the emotion recognition AI say to the poker player? I can read you like an open source code. Get it? Because poker faces and algorithms, and I should really work on better material. Until next time, this is Nex signing off. Stay skeptical, stay informed, and remember that somewhere out there, an algorithm thinks it knows exactly how you're feeling right now. Prove it wrong. Be unpredictable. Be human. Peace out.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.